Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning star burning from afar enters into view, all that I can say, all that I can know is that I'll be dreaming, he says, of you.
Yes, it's story time on the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. And today's story is entitled Astrophysics for Ignoramuses. This week I consumed a short book by Neil deGrasse Tyson called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. I'm not entirely sure. I am in a hurry, but I'm not entirely sure why I read that book. I know that part of my motivation came from reading recently about Stephen Hawking and his contributions to the field of astrophysics. And I realized that I don't know an asteroid from a hemorrhoid. So that was part of my motivation. And another part of my motivation came from the fact that the book was very short and had big print. Now, joking aside, I do find that as I get older, I have an insatiable desire to learn more and more about everything and anything. Despite the fact that my head is already stuffed with so much garbage that I lose my keys and my glasses and the TV remote at least 15 times a week. In any case, I read the book and I now have a much better understanding of astrophysics, whatever that is. The book starts by telling us that 14 billion years ago, all of the space and all of the matter and all of the energy of the known universe was contained in a little bundle less than 1/1,000,000,000,000th the size of a period that ends this sentence. So everything is in the known universe. Everything was contained in a little bundle less than 1/1,000,000,000th the size of a period. So right away, the guy starts out the book with a lot of nonsense because, of course, there's no way you could get even a small horse into one tiny dot, let alone a whole country or a universe. So Mr. deGrasse is obviously crazy, but for some reason, they let him write a book and get a PhD anyway. Nonetheless, the story continues. Although the author doesn't even know how the little dot came into existence, and my guess is this little dot was once a speck of dust on the overalls of the janitor of the universe. But be that as it may, anyway, although the author does not know how it came into existence, this teeny weeny dot that contains everything that is anything was apparently so small that all it could do was expand. And it was so hot that all it could do was blow up and create the Big Bang. The author then goes on to describe the second-by-second evolution of the Big Bang and how Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, in which the presence of matter and energy somehow curves the fabric of space and time to create gravity, he describes how that theory, the theory of relativity, is somehow integral to all of this. So here I am, 3 pages into the book, I'm already lost, and this is a book for dummies, and I am clearly still too dumb to understand. A brief digression about Albert Einstein. As I have told you before, my parents told me that Albert Einstein was a very distant cousin of mine. Seriously. Now, that may be true, but it is probably not true. I think that this sort of embellishment was a way that Jews who were alive in the post-war era and whose ranks had been decimated by the Holocaust and who felt that they had been labeled as subhuman all too often attempted to reassert their distinctiveness by claiming family ties with a certifiable Jewish genius. In much the same way that every black musician in Seattle in the 1970s claimed to have taught Jimi Hendrix how to play the guitar with his teeth. Now, I am probably related to Albert Einstein in the same way we are all related to the caveman couple, Mr. and Mrs. Kronk from the Upper Paleolithic era. And by the way, I do know who taught Jimi Hendrix how to play the guitar with his teeth, but that is another story for another time, and it does not start with a small dot either. So where were we? Oh yes, our hot little dot containing the beginnings of everything, cows, Trump, tulips, the United Nations, everything, begins to blow up and expand. And matter, in the form of subatomic particles, begin to part company and create a seething soup of cosmic mush. In this mush are some quarks, which are the most basic constituents of matter. During this period, Mr. deGrasse tells us that the allegiance between adjacent quarks, who I like to think of as small ducks with a speech impediment, you know, quark, quark. Anyway, that the allegiance between adjacent quarks could not be unambiguously established. So that's what he says. So what he is saying, I think, is that there was no allegiance or no loyalty as the universe was exploding. And perhaps that is to be expected, because if I was an adjacent quark, I too would be running for cover and getting the hell out of the way, because everything's exploding. At this point, by deGrasse's calculation, when the adjacent quarks are alienating from each other, we are still only a millionth of a second into the Big Bang. Well, I do not expect you to stay tuned as I walk through each bazillionth of a second in the formation of the universe. Needless to say, the universe got formed. It turned out to be very, very big. Big enough to contain more stars than the grains of sand on any beach and an estimated 100 billion galaxies like our own Milky Way. And as part of that, of course, the Earth got formed. Now, the way people got started is another mystery to be solved by astrophysicists, apparently. For those of you who think that an omnipotent God woke up one day and decided to create the heaven and the Earth and people like you and me, I apologize in advance. Scientists do not see it that way. deGrasse even posits a theory that we may be not even from this planet. He says that when a large asteroid strikes a planet, the surrounding areas can recoil from the impact, catapulting rocks into space. These rocks can travel to or land on other planetary surfaces like ours, and that these traveling rocks can contain hardy microorganisms, which have been shown to survive a wide range of conditions. It has also been shown that shortly after the formation of our solar system, Mars was a gooey, wet place, perhaps fertile long before the Earth. So maybe life began on Mars, and that life seeded life here on Earth, and we are actually Martians. So anyway, that is my review of the book about astrophysics, a discipline I still do not fully understand, and a word I still cannot spell. But I am undaunted. If that is what it takes to gain knowledge, I will continue to read more and more books I do not understand until my head explodes. That is my commitment to you, my friends. And so on that note, I will sign off and thank you for listening to Storytime on the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.